listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And hello and welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
And we'd like to welcome those of you who are listening to this live broadcast, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, or ICMH. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have a number of different educational programs in addition to this program. And those include EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, healing, and many others, and Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers standalone courses in metaphysics as well as degrees. Now, as we get into our program tonight, we've been kind of taking a closer look at some of our principles of belief. We normally read an abbreviated set of beliefs, but I've been taking them one at a time. The last 2 weeks, we started with number one a couple weeks ago, do no harm, do right. Number two was last week, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. And then this week, we're going to do number three, and I'm going to read the, not the abbreviated, but the full principle. And this is how it reads. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. So the gist of this belief is, hey, we're responsible for us. And not only that, we're capable of solving our problems. We don't need handouts per se. We don't need some supernatural being in the sky to come and save us. We have the ability to do it ourselves. We're capable of it. We're responsible for it. And for somebody to come and do that for us would be basically doing us as a species a disservice, because we need to learn through this whole thing. That's our right. That's our right. It's ours. We own it, and nobody else should take that away from us. And as far as, well, how do we solve these human social problems? I mean, you take a look at the news, and you see human social problems all over the place. People killing each other. There's prejudice and what most people call racism, even though I think we're all one race, but there's that. There's just all kinds of things going on that we need to correct. There's hunger. There's homelessness. There's disease that doesn't have to be. And those are things that we need to solve. And in my opinion, it's only when we start evolving that we can stop spending so much money on killing each other and divert those funds to educating people, because education is the key. It's what's going to save this race, the species. And that's what we're doing in this program. That's what we do at our schools. We educate and we help raise awareness. And we've talked about this on the program so many times, where people do the best they can, generally speaking, with the knowledge, experience, resources that they have at the moment. And they do the best they can with the level of awareness that they have at the moment. Anytime we learn something, oh, wow, I've been doing that, wow, got to stop that, well, our awareness has been raised, and that's what we're trying to do. So as a part of education, one of the things that ICMH Church does through this program, through our schools, is to help people learn practical life skills, like relationship skills, like assertive communication skills, critical thinking. But the relationship skills are some of the most important because so many people have so many relationship problems. So education is the ticket. And the beautiful thing is as we become more educated, our level of awareness increases and we become a more positive force for good. We become a better example and we have a positive impact on those within our sphere of influence. So education is it. Understanding and empowering the human condition is what will help us to evolve past the need for tribal warfare. Any thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
Well, while you were talking, I picked a card that I thought might happen to synchronize a little bit with what you're talking about. Sure enough, in the existential suit number 12, spirit, cosmos, divine energy. And I think it's complementary. So I'm going to read this for everybody. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. Now, you're talking about relationships, and of course, the most important relationship that we have is one with ourselves. So if we can connect with that and be really honest about who we are in relation to what we want and expect and almost demand in some cases of others, and kind of curb it a little bit and get real, I think that it's all right in keeping with having a better spiritual relationship with ourselves and a spiritual relationship with others in the human form. So I think that that's complementary.
It is. Very good. All right. So
Should I pick another card?
Yeah, let's pick another card. Let's see if we can moving on.
Let's see how we make it flow. Open-mindedness. Well, I love that. See, yeah. You know, you talked about stuff that's going on in the world. Part of it is it's over 7 billion people on this planet. And we have technology that lets us know what's going on in an instant. And nothing seems to be filtered very well. And we do tend to get more of the negative than we do the positive. I look for positive stories in a day. I do try to stay in tune with what's going on. But the positive stories, the have a good day story, you know, the wonderful people in the world. And that way, my mind stays in better balance and more open-minded. And so I'll read this. Number 38, open-mindedness in the life skills suit. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. So an open mind, number one, don't believe everything you read. I think that's really important. Whatever is being written about is skewed to a point of view, and we don't always get the truth. And what's the truth is quality, of course. But what are the motivations for people writing certain stories? So we have to use some scrutiny a little bit and some critical thinking. But also, I think, to keep a balance, not to fixate, because it's really easy to feel bummed out. Really easy to not want to educate, not want to continue, because it just seems also dark. You know, and Dr. Kelly, you and I have often talked about the word futility, you know, and how you just say, well, what for? What's it all about? Well, I want to go back to this very beginning about relationships. It's about the relationship we each have with ourselves, you know, and hopefully feeling like we have some spiritual, you know, spiritual connection I think, to a greater reality than the one that we always tend to see, or the one that's being presented most to us. So, to stay open-minded about that, and as you have said repeatedly, education. Well, the education begins with the self. What kinds of relationships are we building? How are we filtering our outside world? Now, it's not to be unrealistic. You know, you kind of good to know what's going on in the neighborhood. At the same time, not to live in fear. So it's a very delicate balance, I think, that all of us are, you know, working on constantly. But unless we can continue to look for solutions and options and to become more aware, it's like, what do we do except feel like it's just all for nothing and futile and, you know, go home and hide? Which really is a really good option, but then there's no hiding, is there? So that's the interesting thing. Because the world is always around us all the time and is happening whether we're aware of it or not.
Will you look for the card on entropy? I'm not sure which number it is.
Yes,
I wanted
yes.
to talk a little bit
I
about entropy. Wow, you're good.
It's right here, number 6 in the wild card, Sue.
Good. I want to talk about entropy, but what I'd like to do first is have you read the comments in the guidebook on that
sure.
card.
Happy to. It's a really interesting card, actually. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which are low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world's a better place.
Good. All right. So I wanted to comment, just talk for a little bit about entropy for a couple of minutes, just to get to provoke people to thought. That's it. That's pretty much it. All right. So entropy, in a nutshell, it's just when things go back to the dust, everything breaks down. Everything goes back to the dust. It's when it goes back to the dust, it's no longer useful, right? It breaks. And all we have to do is look at this planet, look at this universe, look at this reality to see that entropy is going full bore. I mean, everything just breaks down. You look at the stars, they have a lifetime, they blow up, you know, and supernova and all that. You look at people, we get old, we die. Same with animals. You look at our products. Some things are better made than others. So the better made things are considered to have a lower entropy. They last longer. The higher entropy items don't last long at all. So what I'm trying to get across here is, if you're interested, and when you get a moment, a free moment mentally, just think about this. We live in a world, on a planet, in the universe, in reality, where everything just dies, whether it's a car or a person or a pet or whatever. And I got to tell you, that makes no sense to me. And I'll tell you why it makes no sense to me, because nobody really wants to die. If you think about it, I have my car. I don't really want it to break down ever, you know. I mean, I've had pets. So I don't want them to die. And the ones that have died, I didn't want them to die. I wanted them forever. And loved ones, all that, nobody really wants to die. So why do we, if you think about that? Why are we in a reality where everything dies and yet we don't want to? Now, I can speculate, and that's all this is, a speculation. It's my own thinking. Well, does that tell us anything about this reality? Nobody wants to die, yet everybody does. And I'm talking about in the flesh, because we certainly believe we move on to the next chapter, whatever that is. And in the same spirit of everything dies but nobody wants to, well, then what's it for? I mean, I'm asking the same old age-old questions that everybody's always asked for eons. However, I'm trying to put it in a different term, and maybe it'll spark something, you know, maybe it'll lead to something else. But just think about that. So what's, you know, in trying to make sense of this reality, why does everything just die? Why does everything go back to the dust? You know, there's certainly different lifetimes among animals, people, and stars. So that's just a little thing to get you thinking. And that's all. I don't really have the answers. I'm looking for them. But wanted to mention that to get people thinking. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Norman Wilson is with us here in the chat again tonight. Thanks for being here, Dr. Norm. He says to what you're talking about, Dr. Kelly, he says, quote, "I believe that death is the wrong word. The body material and the spirit soul is not. It doesn't die. In other words, it's reborn." And I think it's about a kind of a perspective in a way when a fetus is in the womb and it leaves that place. Essentially, that's a death to the fetus. But we see it on this side of that reality as life. And yeah, I think that part of us has to believe that when we leave this reality, there's a different kind of life, that there's another life, that continuum, if you will, continues to embrace us into these different kinds of realities. Now, if I can just say this, because I have to see humor in all of this too, you know, this is the way I see it, that I've been trying to die since I was 5, and I can't believe I'm still here.
yeah, please share that with everyone.
Well, you see, I drowned when I was 5. And I want to share
that was
with
like
everybody.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
10 years
right.
ago?
Yeah, not too long ago. The actual drowning and death wasn't painful. Honestly, it was this, yes, you gasp for air and there's that very brief panic. But once you're filled with water and there is this comfort in a way, you just succumb to it. And it's nothing really bad or awful. And I did have almost, that I can remember at the age of 5, because it's very clear though, you know, one of those near-death experiences. But in my view, I was dead. Now, traveling through the sky, that peacefulness, that, wow, that extraordinary feeling. And of course, once I was revived, now that was the most painful part, is actually having your body jolted and the water coming out, you know, coming back into this reality. And I have never forgotten that peacefulness. Now, I've had a few, you know, me and death are kind of friends, I say, you know, had to look at it a few times, and I really am unafraid, to be honest. It's living in this world that can be most fearful and challenging. So I think if we just change our view a little, and of course that's just me telling a story, and lots of other people have their stories too. But a fetus leaves that reality, comes into this reality. We live this incarnation in whatever, you know, matter of time frame it is, because 80 years is really a blip in the cosmos, or 100 years, you know, and some are younger, and we go into a different reality. Now, I can tell you that I have inklings of what that is, but not really. You know, because as I ground into this reality and live this life, it really doesn't matter in a way of what I'm going to, if that makes any sense. It only matters today in the here now that I'm applying myself to the best of my ability to be the best human being that I can. So, you know, it's interesting. Dr. Angie Kittle's with us here tonight too, and she just wrote in the chat, "I hate death. I wish technology would beat it. It's not fear, but attachment. I miss my loved ones. I completely understand. But if we can embrace death, not hate death, and understand that death is just a different kind of relationship. I do have lots of spirit friends, and I've been visiting since I can remember, you know, shortly after birth, of people who haven't got a body. Now, where do they live? In what dimension? Probably there's many. How does that all work? There's a lot of theories. I'm not sure about that. Do I miss having coffee with them? Absolutely. Could I sit down and, you know, or pick up the phone or go for a drive, maybe a movie? Yes, I miss that too. But I also know that we still have that connection. So as much as I do understand, you know, Dr. Andrew's point of view and many others, if we were to beat technology, you know, if technology would beat death, we already have 7 billion people on the planet that we're not taking care of very well. So how would we take care of this planet if nothing died? Now, that's an interesting thought. You know, that
it is. It fits into the whole big question.
Well, and if everybody turned vegetarian, how are you going to feed all those cows?
Well,
I mean, these are my thoughts. That's all.
Well, let's talk about it. I've said that a zillion times. We live on a planet where everything eats everything else. But somehow this system came into be. Is this the only way? The only way to do things? I don't think so. You know, that would be, I think, narrow-minded to think that. So, but we live in this reality where everything eats everything else. And, you know, is that just the way it worked out? You know, is that evolution? Is that it? And I don't have the answers, and I'm not looking, well, I'm looking for them, but I don't expect anybody else to have them. But you never know. And so that's the whole point of this discussion, is to get people thinking. We live in a world where everything eats everything else. We live in a world where everything dies, where entropy is high. And I love your illustration about, you know, the fetus being born, and we look at it from the other side, from this side, and we say, wow, a new life is born. But in the world of fetuses, another fetus has died. So
yes,
is
indeed.
That all this is? You know, is this just one chapter among many? That's, to me, seems like the best explanation. But what do we make of the heartache that goes with the death of loved ones and pets? And, you know, I don't know what to make of that. And maybe we'll know in the next chapter. I don't know. But
you know,
that's all I was trying to...
And I understand there is something that has come up in with our students and other conversations that some people believe that you raise your spiritual vibration by becoming vegetarian or vegan, and that is to attain what? I'm not sure, but it's apparently there's a point of view that if we can become less attached to certain energies, that we can raise our own energy. In other words, lower our entropy in a way. Now, I find that, you know, I really do think that that's catch-22, because we live on a planet where everything eats everything. I think our regard for life, whether you're a vegetarian or otherwise, I think it's the regard for life that we need to work on. And so whatever the big cosmic reasoning is for us being here, we don't know that, and we're speculating at best. But it's the regard, you know, Dr. Kelly, the IMHS program, Life Leadership Paragon, says it so bad. To me, it just says it best. If we could all just do no harm and do right, and what would that mean? Does that mean not to kill an animal? Because everything eats everything on this planet. Well, is that any different? Mind you, it has eyes. Plants don't have eyes, but do they? I don't know. Plants are very sensitive. We now know that plants have a consciousness, and that when you cut the grass and it gives off that scent, that's actually the grass screaming, you know, telling all the other blades of grass, look out. So, you know, a big tree will feed through the roots, feed the young trees before she feeds herself as the main tree. We know these things now through matters of technology and science. So I think that technology and science gives us a better open-mindedness to open our consciousness, to have a better regard for here. How does that evolve? To what degree, like in what capacity, for what reason? Well, we can't really know that. I don't know. Do aliens need meat and vegetables? I don't know. Can they be beings that live on sunlight and just breathe air? But is that not a form of another kind of energy eating energy? It's all transformation, I think. So it's really a point of view, and of course it's a good discussion too.
All right, so let me just point out that if anyone would like a card pulled for them, just say so in the chat room, and we'll get to that shortly. You know, there's discussion, too, a mention or two in the chat room on consciousness and everything having consciousness, and you alluded to that, and plants and so forth. And obviously we talk about that in the IMHS degree program, the TFU, Thomas Francis University degree program or courses. And it's an interesting concept as well. You know, and in my own, and I'm still doing my own research on this. I'm still developing my stuff on this, my thoughts and my hypotheses on this. But it almost makes sense if you look at the world, you know, if it's alive, if, you know, and that's all also a difficult definition, you know, what constitutes living. And there's some different definitions, but not everybody can agree on them. But here's the point. We generally know when something's alive. An insect's alive. A plant is alive. A tree is alive. Obviously, animals, humans, that's life. You know, there's bacteria. There's viruses. It's all life. And in my hypothesis, my ongoing developing hypothesis, everything has a slice of consciousness, a measure of consciousness. Not all consciousness, not all measures are the same. For example, I cannot have a conversation with a tree. Well, if I do, it'll be one-sided. So, you know, everything has a measure. If it's alive, it has a measure of consciousness. In, you know, plants, trees, very low measure. Insects, maybe a little more. Animals, a little more. Great apes, a lot more. Humans, a lot more. But you can look at animals and what they do and the consciousness that they exhibit, especially with pets. You can kind of watch them. You know, they have to have a certain degree of consciousness, which is a higher level than many other animals. Some animals seem to be smarter than others, and, you know, just like people. But it's an interesting concept to think about. You know, everything's connected, but we all, you know, all life has some measure of consciousness, whether it's a little bit all the way up to a lot, like humans and great apes.
Well, I talk to trees.
Well, do they talk back?
Yes.
You know, they have meds for that. All right.
You know, Tracy B. has asked for a card the chat, and so I did. I pulled a card for her, and this one is for you, Tracy. Number 37, life skills suit, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. So let me reread that last sentence. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. So, you know, that there's a little sentence in there. Really, I don't know why. It's just resonating with me. It's be willing, an absence or denial of evidence. In other words, just because we don't see the evidence doesn't mean it's not truthful. We have to keep exploring for that.
Doesn't mean the evidence doesn't exist.
That's right. So it's that staying grounded, keep searching for that evidence, and you know, and keep an open mind, I guess, too. So I hope that resonates with you, Tracy. Is there anybody else in the chat room that I've missed? I see a lot of activity going on there. So
yeah, I'm not seeing any other requests.
All right, I got third card from the left for Zach. Okay. I just had to, Zach. It's becoming a ritual, I think. it's really wonderful. Wild card, paradox number one. So I did get it from the left. I did. It was the third card from the left. He's writing yay. Okay, here we go. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking. And I'll let Dr. Kelly expand on that. I know we've talked about it a lot in the past, but it's always worthy of a little more explanation. So this may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered. Dr. Kelly.
Contrarian thinking is simply thinking outside the box, as they say. Yep. It's what I call the 180 principle. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. That's a huge, huge nugget right there, and we've talked about it. But with contrarian thinking, you might, in problem solving, you might ask questions like, what would be the silliest, stupidest thing that I could do to solve this problem? What should I not do to solve this problem? What would be the wrong thing to do to solve this problem, and why? Because sometimes when we ask that, we might come up with something, but it's actually the right thing. We just think it's the wrong thing because that is outside of our belief system. So we need to get more data. We need to expand our thinking. We need to open our minds, get creative, and then those solutions will present themselves. Tell me the face value of that card once more.
That is number one in the wild card suit.
The face
value? The energy at hand is outside the norm. It's paradox.
Paradox, okay.
And you that's know, Dr. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. That's the paradox of it, is the contrarian thinking.
Exactly.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, you know, speaking of paradoxes and waiting for more information, Dr. Angie is saying, even though we don't understand, is it a sentient being? For instance, you know, when we're talking, she's talking specifically about you know, plants, fungus, bacteria, and other things that she's referenced in the chat room. And this is just a classic case of discussion. Yes, and she's mentioned here bacteria can communicate with bacteria. Is that sentient? I think we might be pushing it a little bit to believe that it's sentient and understanding the definition of what sentient is. However, it's various forms of, I think we can safely say, various forms of electromagnetic frequencies that consider, you know, are considered within the realm of consciousness. But she's saying we assume they have no feelings because we don't understand. She said, I don't think they're sentient, mind you, but it is interesting. Yes, I totally agree. It's interesting. Here's the thing we're just talking about. We have to look outside the box. Sometimes it's not where we think it is. Where we are in our evolution is we don't understand that stuff yet. And I just, for me, I can't buy it. When somebody goes into a meditation and channels some alien from some other dimension to say they understand all life on Earth, I don't buy it. Because it's still filtered through the individual's belief systems, patterns for thinking, their processing of their mind, which may not be the language that that alien species was talking in the first place. So it's all perception. So no matter what we think we understand from whatever level, spiritual, you know, extraterrestrial, or scientifically, we're still in this infancy of understanding consciousness and what that is. And we really still need to get philosophy and science to partner to get together. That is metaphysics. So this, and they aren't partnering yet. So the more that that partners, the better we'll feel about what we're learning.
Let me talk about sentience.
Yes.
Sentience is almost a synonym with consciousness. Some of the synonyms that go along with sentient is aware, informed, knowing, feeling is a big one. And I always thought of sentience as self-aware in many ways, but it's only part of it. There's another word that's sapient, which, let me get the definition of it here. It's having or knowing great wisdom or sound judgment. So it's almost like I begin using sentient and sapient together, because sentient deals a little more with the feeling side of things, whereas sapient deals with the more intellectual, in my understanding. And sentient, basically the dictionary says having the power of perception by the senses, conscious, characterized by sensation and consciousness, but I always equate it to self-awareness. And so if we equate sentience to consciousness, then we could go back to the same hypothesis that everything has a measure of sentience to one degree or another, some very little. And the closer you get to human, the more. And so, you know, it is what it is, I guess. So,
well, nonetheless, we're still speculating, and it's all filtered through our emotional centers and our belief systems. And the thing is, if you want to believe it, you're going to see it, and you're going to see it whatever way you prefer to see it. And it's, I would like everybody to just hear this clearly for a moment. You know, when we look at signs, we think nature is giving us signs. We are interpreting those signs in a preferred way that may not be the truth of it at all. Now, it might be, it resonates with us for a moment, and we say, yeah, okay, that this is the direction I'm supposed to go. Because we are all interconnected. And I do believe that nature works through us and we're all connected with that. I absolutely do. What I'm trying to say, though, is that if a bird flies in your window, it might just simply be a bird flying in your window. It may mean nothing at all. If a bird repeatedly flies in the window, maybe there's something wrong with that species of bird that it's not seeing the reflection of light. It doesn't necessarily mean it's us that, you know, it's something in us. And I think if we have to set some of our emotional arrogance aside, because that's really what it is, in that part of we think we know best and we think we know more, greater, and beyond. So it's just our preferred thinking to have an open mind. It would be talking about, you know, this evening, to have an open mind. It's to also keep our emotions in check, our bodies in balance, and to use some critical thinking. And even though today I think that this is that, tomorrow I have to know that that may not be that at all. It could be something else. And this is evolution. I can accept that yesterday I thought it that way, today is different. So in all kinds of symbolisms that we live with and that are all based on our belief systems. So I just wanted to throw that in when we come into, you know, our beliefs.
All right, let's pull one more card and then we'll wrap things up.
All right, I don't see anybody in there.
If you want a card,
okay.
No.
Number 34, take and release ownership. It's in the service to self and others. All right, I'm getting it. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what's earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest. So I think that this kind of takes our conversation to another level, that we own what we know as best as we can today. We take responsibility for that, each of our decisions, our actions, our follow-through. But I think also to be open-minded that we are changing people, we're changing species and evolving species. I'm kind of multitasking here. Dr. Norm has asked in the chat if what I was saying before is that there's nothing consistent. I don't think there is anything consistent. I think that we create patterns, and each of us has a pattern. We could get into, you know, a lot of other numerics in this and, you know, how things are patterned, because I love patterns. So patterns have a consistency, but each time that pattern repeats, there will be something anomalous. And I find very often it's not the pattern that's fascinating. it's what's different in the pattern that's fascinating. For instance, if you have a relationship with someone, you get to know their moods, their nuances, their energy. And of course there's a pattern to that, and there's a comfort. But one day it's like you feel something just a little bit different. Now there's the study. What is different? Did somebody have a different kind of day? Were they impacted by something at work? You know, and that's where we look for that. So there's a growing that, again, we have to change. There has to be changes in order to grow. And that's part of the process. So what is consistent? I don't know of anything that's consistent, to be honest. I think, though, we have patterns, and each of us resonates with certain patterns. And in that, there's patterns that we can trust to a varying degree. I think we run into trouble, though, if we just fall into that pattern. It's just to say that it's absolute and then preach it to others to say, yes, it's this way when it's only that way to me.
Then there's different aspects of consistency. I mean, how technical do we want to get? If we get technical, perhaps there is no consistency. However, in practical life, we can be consistent in our behavior and our disposition. We can be consistently level-headed. We can be consistently not level-headed, dramatic. We can live crisis to crisis. There can be all kinds of things that, you know, create drama that you never know. You know, and we've all known people, you never know how they're going to react. There's no consistency. You never know. So maybe that's consistent. I don't know. But the point is that we can delve deeper into these terms and philosophies. You can go deep, 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 get very technical, very strictly speaking, or, you know, it can be more of a rule of thumb. So I know Shauna wanted to.
Hey, Shauna, nice to see you here. Shauna doesn't get to visit with us very often, but it's certainly glad to see you when you are. This is number 19 in the spirituality suit. Invoke the counselor within. Here you go, Shauna. Number 19. My little booklet. I think I'm going to have to order a new booklet. This one's getting a little bit weathered. I use it quite a bit. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. There may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. And of course, Shauna, we know that you do that, but sometimes we have these little moments where it's just little reminders to ground us back into, oh yeah, here I go. Okay, I know what the answer is. It doesn't mean we can't seek advice. We certainly do. We get more information. We are information gatherers, and we, you know, kind of compute that and find an intelligence, but then it's your application of it. And so that's invoke the counselor within. I hope that's helpful to you and, you know, a little moment.
Yep. Good stuff. So,
anyone else that we missed or?
That'd be really quick starting.
If Michael was. Anyway, thanks for being here, everybody. You know, every week we enjoy this too, and we like having these conversations, and they're just as thought provoking for us, to be honest, as they are for you. So, thanks so much for sharing your time every week, and those who are new, you know, in our chat, and please encourage others to join us too. The more the merrier, the better. We open, you know, we get new ideas all the time, so that's great.
All right, so we appreciate all the comments in the chat room, and just an FYI to Suzanne, you make an interesting point about duality. We must know pain to really know pleasure. I have some thoughts about that. I don't have time tonight, but if you come back next week and put something in the chat room, we'll talk about that.
Good discussion.
And there have been some good points made in the chat room, so we appreciate that. I appreciate everyone taking their time. And if you know somebody who could benefit from this program, and I'm sure you do, please let them know. Get them here. Please listen to the archive. So thank you for being here. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the show. Thanks to Dr. Hunter for showing up. And not, you know, going somewhere else. And
you know, we're going on my fifth anniversary with IMHS and Dr. Kelly, and And I can't imagine, it's my family, so I'm always glad to be here.
Yep. And I was going to mention about our server issues, but I'll talk about that next week. Anyway, folks, again, thanks. Hope you have a great week. Appreciate your time. Good night.
Good night, everyone.